The Burners and the Starvers, written by Lotessa, read by Raven. Summary. 5 times Ozorn Muhassin Takase touched Aram Draper. When he was small, Aram Draper was as easy as any other little creature to pet and be friends with, in Ozorn's opinion. The Karthaki prince didn't like other boys, as a rule, and held himself aloof from all save Varys by custom. But when Varys dragged Aram in on the ribbon of her silky affection, Ozorn found it very possible to let her keep him, and then to begin to like the little thing himself for his own charms. Small, young, powerful, impossible Aram, their shared protege. It irked Ozorn, yes, that the younger mage threatened to outshow his own gift. Aram went to it so joyfully. Damn him. Ozorn had seen him gather lightning snakes and talk to gods. He could roar with frustration at the thought of all that Aram's power could do. It was like he'd been complaining to Chayuke. What a war mage Aram might be. Still, it was hard to dislike the kid, with his funny earnestness, dark, untidy hair, and soft, mooning, calf-like eyes. Aram made himself so sweetly available, submitting his great power to older adepts. He generally did what Ozorn instructed him, as well. Perhaps one day, Ozorn would be the one to wield Aram's great gift like a pair of sparkling gloves. It was a striking thought. Ozorn had come when he heard that Aram was back from the front, where he'd been helping control illness and infection as part of his independent studies with the university. His little friend was getting taller, Ozorn noticed. Not so small now. Aram seemed tired, or more than tired, drained to his bones, thinned out, bloodless beneath the deep tones of his skin. It wasn't long before he retreated back to his bed in their room and passed into a heavy sleep, not even managing to remove his hair tie before he was out. Ozorn sat on his own bed opposite and rubbed a finger over the carnelian on the third finger of his right hand, the ring to reveal auras. He saw Aram's like a corona of negative space, the dark flashing gift active and rolling around his head and hands. Aram's gift glittered like lightning and starfire as he slept, and Ozorn's palms nearly itched from the desire to touch it. His own bronze-gold magical aura sparked up, and Aram started as if he'd received a static shock, sitting up in his bed. Their auras did not mesh, but clashed and flared. It was thrilling. It was painful. Aram gasped, "Ozorn, what is it?" Ozorn withdrew, not speaking. Then the prince reached out to ruffle the dark head, removing the still-in-position hair tie after he'd mussed the hair. "Nothing," he said. "It's all right. Go back to sleep." "Sit down. I want to try it." Tamora Staghorn bit his lip. "Cosma said we must not. He only told us about it in the first place so it wouldn't happen accidentally. Pretty sure that means you're not supposed to try it." "How tiresome," Ozorn frowned at him. The blonde quailed, but did not acquiesce. "Very well, then," Ozorn said, beckoning an arrogant finger. "Aram, come here and sit down." This one, he knew, was less likely to refuse him, and more likely to be too curious for his own good. Aram tumbled predictably, gracelessly down into the indicated cushion, his newly lengthened limbs awkward and coltish. He was taller than Ozorn, now, but he didn't give him a sense of presence. If anything, Aram seemed less prepossessing as he grew longer. A possessive heat lanced through Ozorn's body as Aram bent his face upward in a gesture of submissive offer. His young friend had grown so sweetly obedient to Ozorn's will and command. What a delight to have the greatest power in their cohort at his beck and call. I want to experiment. Let's learn a little more about enscrollment. Reckless, he took a seat across and looked into Draper's eyes with all his focus and power, just as he'd been warned never to do. Aram's eyes looked black most of the time, but if you shifted your angle of view, you could catch little iridescent flecks of green and silver gold shot through the darkness of his irises. Ozorn watched the pupils dilate, growing wider, opening to him like peeled back flower petals. He felt mesmerized, dizzy with the pool of Aram's eyes. They were dark wells into darkness, a long, empty fall into night. He was not, he realized, winning the War of Wills. His power failed. Eruptive, struggling, but Aram's gaze was so soft, so warm that he wanted more and more, himself to bend and submit. That, he knew, could not be. His hand, heavy with rings, cracked across Aram's high cheekbone, leaving bloody marks and contusions that would become bruises by the morning. He'd have to get Varys to bring a salve for it, speed up his healing. Maybe they're right about you, Aram, he said, panting, teeth bared. Maybe you really do need to learn some control. He turned on his heel and stalked away, leaving Aram downcast and sheepish, hunched in on himself, hair in his lacerated face. Please, oh, please. What do you want? Ozorn asked with a smile. He ran a finger around the reddened flesh at Aram's wrists, where the ties pressed. Aram moaned wordlessly. He hung, panting, between the bedposts, disheveled and shining with sweat and pathetically lovely. Ugh. Ozorn teased him. Really, Draper, what's become of that silver tongue? You'll never get what you want if you don't learn to beg for it prettily. Aram gasped, shivered, swallowed convulsively, controlled his breathing with a visible effort. Please touch me, he said, his cock dark with blood and desire, spasmed as Ozorn brought a finger close to its wet tip, pulled back again to pursue his lips. I don't know, he said slowly, feigning consideration. Then, going for the knife twist, had he known he intended to do that? What of poor Varys? You really are being very wicked to betray the poor girl so, rutting with another lover behind her back. Of course, Varys knew full well what Aram did with the Emperor's heir. Ozorn had informed her of it, and she had bitten her lip, and then smiled and given the appropriate, polite acquiescence. In front of Aram, clever girl. Not nearly as soft or unassuming as she looked. Not so, his Aram. All fire and passion. Aram had bitten his full lower lip until it had bled. Ozorn knew, because he tasted the blood there, later. Aram cared so much about things that it was exhausting just to watch him. But that, too, Ozorn could find use for. Had done, before now. And would again, he was sure, in time. Ozorn, Aram begged with a charming fervor. No, you, please, please touch me, only you. Ozorn let his hand fall heavily over the hot, velvety hardness of Aram's prick, firm and masterful. Aram almost shouted as sensation overwhelmed him, his dark eyes rolling back in his head. It was good to have mastery, fully confirmed in sweat and blood. It was that, and not mere sexual pleasure, that Ozorn believed brought him over the edge in turn. Come now, dear, Ozorn crooned as he rocked Aram in his lap, The mage's lanky limbs fell haphazard and limp, and his dark head rested close against Ozorn's chest. Aram's eyes were closed, his breathing racked. "Come and see you love us." Aram shuddered in his arms, a full body convulsion that traveled up and down the considerable length of him in repeating waves. It was a flinch magnified into a cascade of bootless attempts at distance. Ozorn clutched Aram closer, clasping him hard enough to bruise. "Don't fight it. You'll feel much better once you stop. You know you love us more than that, dear. You know you do. You wouldn't refuse us such a thing." "I won't," Aram sighed against Ozorn's shoulder. "I won't do it." "Not say you love us?" "Oh, but I think you shall," Ozorn purred. Aram should be feeling the drugs by now. A leadenness in his veins, a creeping susceptibility and desire to please, not to mention the impact of the empty room on so gifted a mage. Aram hitched against him with a little sob, and Ozorn petted through his tangled hair. "I love you," Aram mumbled against the fine white linen of Ozorn's shirt. His Tyran accent bled through. Unusual. A throwback to his childhood school days. And Ozorn's smile broadened. "I love you. I won't. You're mad." Still resisting, but not for long. "I think you will, dear." His hand traced the gaunt edge of Aram's face, the cords of tension in his neck, the vulnerability of the pulse underneath the skin of his throat. "Come now, just do this one little thing for me." Aram fought for breath, lassitude overcoming him. He grew more pliant in Ozorn's arms, heavy and boneless and relaxed. "Just this one little thing. The gods aren't watching. They don't care." He turned Aram over, arranging him until he was laid out to the best advantage, all his peculiar prettiness on display. He reached down to unfasten Aram's trousers. Aram only turned his face to the stone floor, still and silent as a tomb. It was to frustrate Emperor Ozorn, in the future, that he had no authentic memory of Aram's screams from that time. He'd had to recreate them with puppets instead, making dolls of Aram beg and cry in his palm before he beat them down into the wailings in torment. The sound was less sweet, he knew, than the real thing would have been. The girl was sweet enough, unpolished and rough around the edges, but that would wear off as she gained experience. Ozorn could see easily enough how she'd charmed his oh-so-earnest scholar, who had not changed a bit, despite his change of name. Little Varaladane, the Emperor Mage, thought as he returned to the glitter and gilt of his imperial ballroom. "How little you know of your teacher's qualities. I wonder if you will be pleasantly surprised by them, should you both live to learn more of each other." Somehow, he thought not. But of course, Draper was taken with her. That sort of gormless ignorance had always been attractive to him. Beneath his breath, Ozorn murmured, too soft for the girl to hear, "Playing at being the master, my pet." Draper, new mare Sameline, now. "Sweet hag's tits, Aram, could you come up with nothing better?" Looked up as Ozorn re-entered the room, his jaw tight and his features set. "Yes, pet," Ozorn thought. "I've seen her and spoken to her, and she was charmed by me, and you are powerless to prevent it. Eat shame, traitor." Draper's dark eyes, when they met Ozorn's, were iron over glass, outwardly strong, resentful, unyielding, but also fragile. Something in them, Ozorn saw, cherishing it, was deeply shattered. An attractive paradox of suffering, Ozorn reflected, admiring it. His boy had grown up so very pretty, even taller now than he'd been then. He looked more like a cultish youth at 30 than he had at 20. But he was broader and more muscular than he'd been in their childhood, and Ozorn didn't need the carnelian ring anymore to view the snap and flare of the erstwhile's Aram Draper's great gift. Reaching out with a tendril of his power, Ozorn allowed himself to remotely caress the line of that hard jaw, touching that other gift once more with the familiar electric shock of attraction and repulsion, connection and severing. He caught the hitch in Draper's breath, but only because he was looking for it. The other mage gave no other outward sign of their game of cat and mouse. Ozorn smiled inwardly, remembering that he'd signed off on Varys's menu, including the honey dormice. A very apt. He was quite prepared to enjoy the inexorable closing of his traps around the traitor and all his people. The pretty little student, the cursed, smooth-faced northern master, even Varys, if she chose to throw in with Draper's party. Sooner or later, Ozorn was more than confident. He would have all of them exactly where he wanted them, in the palm of his hand, subjugated to his absolute will. No power, not even the gods, could save Aram Draper now. The end. Thank you for listening.